Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for a time like this. We ask that we see revelation and insight that is found in the written word. As we look into the world, our eyes behold Christ as he sees us in him. We receive all that your Spirit has for us to receive today from the world. We ask that there is clarity in our minds as your word is taught, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's open the Bible to Matthew. Some of us are already in Matthew. So now let me now see. Matthew what? Oh, sorry to disappoint you. I have told you people, stop preempting. It is not good. Stop preempting. Just wait to hear. Matthew 22 is where we start from today. Are you Matthew 22? Okay. Now, Jesus was done dealing with the Sadducees. Now the Pharisees now came in verse 35. Here's what they said. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, what is a great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are dealing on a topic entitled Walk in Salvation. Walk in Salvation. It has a subtitle. What to walk in and not to walk in. So that walk in salvation, we're going to be switching to what to walk in and not to walk in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What to walk in and not to walk in. Hallelujah. So walk in salvation. Hallelujah. So we're dealing with the pneumaticals on Saturdays and talking about salvation. Walk in salvation on Sunday. Hallelujah. So he says, look at Jesus' response to them, to the guy in verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He said, "This is the first proton, the first and great commandment." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proton, Kai, Megas, and Telu. That is the first proton and great commandment. Hallelujah. First and great commandment. He now said the second is like unto the first. And he said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Right? So on these two lies the law and all the law and the prophets. Okay, just a quick explanation of that. Jesus is showing us, or Jesus tells us, explains Jesus explains, or he summarizes all Moses and the prophets wrote about. You get me? Hallelujah. Or you can simply put, all Moses and the prophets wrote will be summarized as the love for God and love your neighbor as yourself. So you could summarize it as this. Love. So meaning in all the roads you'll find the love for God and the love for your neighbors. Did you get that? Hallelujah. 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 Now this will be what the words of the prophet will seek to do to the unhardened heart. to the unhardened heart. So what the word of God will, or what the scripture seeks to do in the unhardened heart, is that it will create the love for God and what? Love for all men. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Remember, the unhardened heart is the unbelieving heart. The believing heart, sorry. The unhardened heart is the believing heart. I want to say the unbelieving heart. That would be too much of a tautology and a slap to my school. So, thank you for saving the day. Hallelujah. List of people will say AFSS is a government school. But we are not government school. No, we are not. Hallelujah. Neither are we private. Neither are we public. So where are we? Hallelujah. Where are we? Some people went to colleges. Some people went to colleges. Why some went to grammar? But we, hallelujah, our school is in the air. Hallelujah. Okay. So the unhardened heart is the believing heart, right? So listen to this. So what Jesus is saying is what the prophet wrote about will create this in the heart of the man who believes. The love for God and what? Love to all men. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the message is ministered, it should stir up love for God in them and love to their neighbors. This is what the message, when the message is ministered to them, this is what will be stirred up in their hearts. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So that means if I read Exodus 20, let's look at Exodus 20 quickly. So Exodus 20. Are you in Exodus 20? So meaning if I go to Exodus 20, I will see this distinction there. I will see, because Jesus said, they asked him what is the first and what is the greatest commandment, right? So now Jesus in explaining or giving an answer to that, he now says the first and the great is what? Love for God, right? He now says the second is like unto the first. We're going to explore that soon. That means if I get to the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and also in the words of the prophet and in the words of Moses himself, I will find this there. Love for God and what? Love for all men. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Let's look at Exodus 20. I will see this distinction. It says, and the Lord God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Let's follow this. You shall have no other gods before me. Is that love for God? Is that love for God? Yes. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for thyself a craven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow to them. You shall not serve them. For I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, listen to this. When it says visiting the iniquity, we're going to look at that as we progress. That word visiting the iniquity does not mean God is a God that comes with anger to deal with people's children. No. As you know, the problem, you know, there's some people that teaches that. They will tell you the problem, the reason why you don't have money is because you have foundational issue. That is fa-fa-fa-fa-wo. Don't listen to such nonsense. He said, you raise your foundation. I have preached something like that in 2004. I said, the reason why God accepted Cain's offering. With that kind of message, it's Cain's offering that we accepted. The reason why God accepted Abel's offering and did not accept Cain's offering is because Abel understood foundations. But there was a problem with the foundation. So Cain said, Cain did not understand that there was a foundational problem. The foundational problem is because God cursed the ground. You cannot give God what God has cursed. And Cain gave God what God has cursed. But Abel understood that was a foundational issue. So he did not give God what God has caused. Rema, right? Please. That is just far, 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 far away. How people just conjure nonsense. Did you? Yes, I did. And I regret doing it. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Okay. You know, there's some people like that, they'll say that is a foundational issue. What did your great grandfather do? Thank God I'm preaching today. You understand me? You want to know who my grandfather was? Would you want to know? Do you want to know who? So you don't need to get there. So you will not tell me, okay, where is the foundational issue now? Am I not in Christ? You understand? I don't know how people think things through. I know somebody born again, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled, says that's a foundational problem. Then that means the very essence of your salvation you don't know. Yes, now 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. You understand? Glory to God. So when God says visiting the iniquity, that word it talks about salvation. Do you understand? That word is a word for salvation. It means forgiving the iniquities of the fathers. Do you understand me? That word visiting means is a word that implies to pardon. Do you understand me? To pardon. Hallelujah. Well, we'll look at it when we discuss understanding this gospel. Series 3 this year. Hallelujah. So we'll look at it. It's part of what we'll look at. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. So let's continue. Verse 6, right? But showing mercy to thousands. Did you see? Verse 6 explains verse 5. He said, but showing mercy to thousands and those who love me and keep my commandments. He said, you shall not take the name of your Lord, your God, in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Is that love for God? That's love for God. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days, it says 6 days you shall what? Okay? And do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within the gate. Is this love for God? Some people will be, but I will explain the word love for God. But this is love for God. Do you understand me? It is love for God. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Look at verses 11. Say, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Remember, Moses rested 6 days. 6 days, 7 days. The seventh day, is it a day? Is it a day like a Monday to Sunday? No. The seventh day is the day of the Lord's salvation, right? Right? Always get note that. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Is that love for God? Is that love for God? No. No. That is love for all men. Do you understand me? Did you see that? Okay. He says, you shall not murder. Love for God or love for all men? Okay, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Love your neighbors, right? Right? You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his oxen, nor his donkey, nor anything that is in your neighbor's. Did you see that? Can you see that distinction? Can you see that distinction? So meaning, from the words of the Lord, right, in Exodus 20, we'll find that distinction, love for God and what? Love your neighbor. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this becomes something that
will call for us to study. Hallelujah. Because even the epistles will be written in the same fashion. The epistles. If I'm not just the epistles, every other writer will write like Moses. Do you understand me? Now, in Genesis chapter 1, Moses will write about just it can be faulted. In fact, I will still fault it. Is it even in this? Even in this series, I will fault what I want to say now, but just as a matter of foundation, do you understand me? Laying something for you to follow, you have to listen to what I want to say now. Now, in Genesis, Moses writes about love for God, right? 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 I'm just trying to give you an example. Okay, let's look at it. Moses wrote about the oracles of God in Genesis. Are you listening to me? Huh? Okay, let me not take it to Genesis. Let me just start from Exodus. Exodus, they came out, right? Listen, they came out, he wrote to them about God, and in Deuteronomy told them they should love their neighbor as yourself. I said, just hold it as the word foundation. I will still fault it. Do you understand me? Because of, as we explain, you understand where I'm going to. Are you hearing me? You understand where I'm going to. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. So as we progress in the study, we would further open what I just said. Do you understand? We'll further open it. So the love for God. Love for God. We're here. Love for God. That word love for God implies faith in God. Do you understand me? Love for God implies faith in God. Do you get that? Faith in God. That's love for God. So, that means the message that they would hear will stir up love for God. Was that what I said earlier? So, that love for God will be faith in God. So, it will stir up belief. So, when Abraham heard the message, what happened to him? The Bible says Abraham believed God. Is that love for God? That's love for God. That's faith in God. Do you understand me? Did you get that? So, Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Or as righteousness. Did you get that? Abraham believed God. So it will stir up belief. Right? The message will stir up belief. So can we say, the first, we are trying to look at what Jesus said. Right? Now, he said, Matthew 22, he said, Matthew 22. What's happening in this? Okay. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And with all your mind. Is this faith in God? Is this belief? Yes. It's belief. So we can say, you shall have faith in God. Is that still okay there? Right? Have faith in God, right? Okay. Glory to God. Okay? That's the first we are going to look at it. Even in the words of Jesus. Before the, and around this time, he says something like that in John chapter 15. John 13, 14, 15. We'll still explore that also next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So, the love for God will be faith in God, will be belief in God. So, the message will stir on this. Look at verse 38. He says, this is the first and great commandment. Proton. That word first is the word protos or proton in the Greek. Proton. P-R-O-T-O-N. A word used for something or an action that will propel other action or other things. Proton. Take note of what I said. A word used. For something or an action that will propel other action or things. Do you understand me? That is to say, what I'm talking about, that word proton is used for a motel. Do you understand me? A motel. Something that is like a motel. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Like a motel. Proton. It is not
a word for number. It's not used for numbering. One, number one. No. It's not trying to say number one, number two. So what Jesus said, remember they asked him, what is
the question?
What is the greatest commandment? So Jesus is not listing two. He only listed one. John was asking, just give one. Are you following me? So he said, proton. We'll get to see this word proton as we discuss pneumaticals too. We'll still talk about it. Do you understand? So proton will now become a model. Do you understand? So the faith in God is called a model. Model of what you get to see. Do you understand? Hallelujah.
Look at verse 39. He now said the second is like it. That word second is the word deuteros.
Deuteros. D-E-U-T-E-R-O-S. That word deuteros is not used on number two. No. Not necessarily used on number two. Do you understand me? It's not numbering. That word deuteros is used for what follows the proton. Or what proceeds from the proton. Do you understand? That word deuteros is therefore is a word that you would use for what we call something like Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Do you understand? That's where we have the word Deuteronomy from. So we can say Moses' Deuteronomy will flow from the Exodus. Are you getting this? Moses' Deuteronomy will flow from the Exodus. Because Exodus will be a type of faith in God. Are you hearing me? Exodus will be a type of faith in God. Did the people have faith in God? No. But we're going to see that it's a to boast for us. You understand? It's an example as we progress. Right? Hallelujah. Remember, we spoke about a leading out yesterday. Right? The leading out, right? In the spirit, led out, right? So let me just help those of us that were not here yesterday and I'm not listening to the message from Islam. Now that word we said yesterday, we are led by the spirit, right? Now that led is in the new birth. And we said that led has to do with we are led from the flesh to the spirit. Was that what we said? And that being led is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Right? Now, we had that as a shadow in Exodus. You remember when they left Egypt? Egypt is used in the New Testament, in the epistle for what? The flesh. Do you understand me? It's used for the flesh. The walking in the flesh, used for the world. Jonathan, Egypt is used for the world. So when they left Egypt, is a shadow of we left the flesh. Where were they leaving Egypt for? They were leaving Egypt to go to the promised land. The promised land is the spirit. Are you following me? So Exodus will now be a to pose. Jonathan, it's supposed to be will now be like a shadow of what? What has happened to us? Oh, let me not use what has happened to us. To them now, to them. The Exodus is what will happen. Do you understand? Now, the Exodus will not be an example of, or will not be a figure of what will happen in Christ. Do you understand? We are led from the flesh to the spirit. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, do you understand that? Do you get that? Okay. Make sure you attend meetings consistently. That is why it follows themselves. The messages follow itself. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, can you now see? Now, Moses, Deuteros. Now, in Deuteronomy, Moses will write about their work, about their love for their neighbors. Do you understand? That's why it's in Deuteronomy you will find, we shall not put on clothes that pertaineth to, a man. You see, that is how they should walk in the land.
Now Moses will write Deuteronomy to tell them how they would live in the land. Do you understand me? When they get to the land. Did you get that? So he will now tell them. Now Moses, remember, Moses knows what he's writing about. Moses is writing salvation. And the land is the spirit. So he's writing this. So when Moses now says the woman should not put on her vestment to a man, and you are thinking of trouser and hat, you are not far fetched from the having the man. Do you understand me? Aha. Because did you get that? Are you following me? Because that word, putting on that vestment onto a woman for a man and a man for a woman, it's referring, Moses is writing love. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Moses is writing about. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
uh-huh. So now, so that's why I have to bring that word Deuteronomy, so that you would further understand what I'm about to say after this. Hallelujah. So Moses, Deuteronomy will flow from the Exodus. The Exodus will be the living, the world, to where the promised land. So the Deuteronomy will now be how you will walk where in the promised land. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we'll look at this shortly. The Deuteronomy will be the walk in love. The walk in the promised land. So that's what we'll look at that too. Hallelujah. Okay. So with this now, listen to this. With this now, what can we see? With this, what that I've explained. Can we now relate what I've said now to Matthew 28? I'm still getting to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, can you relate both of them together? How can you relate it as a Bible student? Matthew 22 and Matthew 28. So we can say heaven and earth, which we said yesterday is the what? New creation, right? Right? We said heaven and earth is a new creation, right? We said heaven and earth is the man in Christ, right?
Yes, sir.
Is the man in the spirit, right? Was that what we said?
Yes.
That's what we implied yesterday. Heaven and earth is man in the spirit. So heaven and earth. Will now show, okay, let me put it like this. Okay. So heaven and earth will show that the man has faith in God already. Right? Heaven and earth is a description of the man that loves God. That has love for God, that has the love of God, right? Heaven and earth will show that, heaven and earth shows the man believes, right? Are you following me?
Yes,
so heaven and earth is the believer. Do you understand me? Heaven and earth is faith in God, is the reality of faith in God. Did you get that?
Yes,
did you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? Did you get what I'm saying? Follow up leaders. You have a lot of follow up to do. You have a lot of discipleship to do. Hallelujah. Did you get what I said? Busy. Did you get what I said? Follow up leaders. A lot of work to become there. Okay, let me break it down. Heaven and earth. If you were around yesterday from the beginning, and last week from the beginning, you understand the fact we say the heaven and earth. When Moses said heaven, it does not mean sky. He points them to the sky as a figure to show that heaven and earth, or heaven is in the earth. So he points to the sky and says, this is heaven. Right? But we know that heaven is not the sky, because the sky is not the end of it. The sky is in the earth. Because we know that planes go beyond the sky, go beyond the clouds. Do you understand me? Are you following me? So Moses will write heaven and point to the sky so that they would know that heaven and earth is in the same place. So Moses is writing about salvation. So Moses gives them a tabernacle and tells them that heaven is the innermost part where God dwells. Moses is also trying to change their ideology. He's not telling them that heaven is now on the earth in the tabernacle. Do you understand me? And why is Moses writing like that? Moses is writing that way to show that heaven will be in man. So when you get to John 1:14, he said, and the Word became flesh. Who is the Word? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was God, and God is the Word. Right? Now he now said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt in the Word and tabernacle amongst us. That word tabernacle brings to mind Moses' tabernacle. Now people say Moses' tabernacle is now alive, is now a man. Do you get me? Moses' tabernacle is not a man, that man Jesus. Right? So meaning Jesus, since Moses' tabernacle will carry heaven and earth, right? So that means Jesus will be that sin, will be what Moses' tabernacle was pointing to. Heaven and earth. The Spirit of God is in him, right? Right? The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, right? Are you following me? Now, as believers. Now, because Jesus is, and because we are born again, being born again makes us the same as the proton. Jesus is the proton, is the prototokos. Do you understand me? So we are as him. Paul will now write, don't you know your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? When he uses that word temple, he uses the Greek word naos. That word naos is used for that innermost place where Moses is called holiest of all. Where Moses says heaven is, where Moses says God is. Now Paul says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What is Paul telling you? That heaven in Moses' tabernacle is now in you. Do you understand me? So, are you following me? So that heaven and earth is now the man in Christ. Because of the what? Because of the Holy Ghost in the man. Do you understand me? So when a man gets born again, he is that reality of heaven and earth. Did you get that now? Now, can I now say, now heaven and earth is not possible because I believe, right? Now, because I believe, is that faith in God?
Yes,
right? So I cannot say faith in God. Love for God, which is faith in God, right? Do you agree that?
Yes.
Love for God, which is faith in God, is now what heaven and earth is, the reality of heaven and earth. Are you following me? Okay, glory to God. Can we proceed? Okay. So faith in God is the union of heaven and earth, God and man, right? Right? John 14:23. We were here last week. So let's visit John 14:23 again. He says, and just as I said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come and make our home with him. Our abode. Did you remember this last week? Our abode, our menu. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you understand? We will come and make our abode in him. Now take note of this. It is, listen to this. That word home is the word menu, where a man stays to continue his work. Have that in your heart. Because we would see it again. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Christ lives in us as the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? Right?
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So what this implies is that faith in God is the new birth. The moment a man believes the gospel, he's saved. The moment a man believes the gospel, he's saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 28:18 again. Are we there? Matthew 28. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? So can we say heaven and earth will imply those who abide in God's law? Can we say that?
Heaven and earth, which is the man who believes, can will imply those who abide in God's law. Are you following that? Okay. Let's look at John 15. John 15. I would recommend, as we continue on this topic, walk in salvation. Make sure you listen to the message, the vine and the branches. Just make sure you listen to the message, the vine and the branches. Just keep listening to the message. Hallelujah. As you get prepared to come for meeting. Do you understand me? Are you hearing me? Keep listening to that message all through this period for the next 6 weeks. Do you understand me? 5-6 weeks. Make sure you are listening to that message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. John 15. Is that what I'm supposed to open? Okay, that says, I am the, from verse 2. But I'll just take verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear much more fruit. Right? The takeaway doesn't mean he destroys. No. That word takes away means he cares for it. Hallelujah. That is the meaning of that word. That is the Greek interpretation of that word, to take care of. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which has spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Did you get that? Abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much more fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Look at that verse 3. Look at that verse 5. Is it the same with earlier, abide in me? Verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him. Is that John 14:23?
Yes.
Look at John 14:23. Look at it side by side. John 14:21. Look at it side by side. Is it the same? Is it saying the same thing?
Yes.
Is that the new birth?
Yes.
Is that the new birth?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's continue verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. For this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Hallelujah. He says, as the Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, what will be the commandment? Verse 9, abide in my love. Right? Right? Is that the new birth? Is that the new birth? Yes. Hallelujah. Abide in my love. Are you following this? Say, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. And I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. So if you keep my commandment, it will be verse 9, right? It will be John 14:2, right? Right? John 14:1, sorry. John 14:1, faith in God, right? Is that faith in God? That is faith in God. I want you to follow this study because you must not jump to read John 15. You must start from where the conversation started from. In fact, you must start from John 1. Do you understand? So, whenever I want to read John 16, and I really need to make reference to John 16, what I do most times, I go back to John 13 and start flowing into John 16. Because that's where the conversation actually started from. Do you understand? That's how you get the context. Did you get that? I don't just jump and start reading. No, I'll read everything. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Something very important to point out as a believer, I don't say minister, is that there's this tendency of familiarity with scriptures that you must not have. I'm just being prompted to say that right now. You must not have familiarity with scriptures. Just like when I get to Luke 24, some of us can memorize it in our head, Matthew 8. You can be so familiar that you will not even open the scriptures. Do you know that up until this afternoon when I was studying, I still opened Matthew 28. And I still read it as though I don't know it of heart. Do you understand me? This is, don't get familiar with scriptures.
Yes, and some people, you can be so very familiar, you can get that familiar that when your pastor is even opening to read it, you already will be saying it with your mouth. With your, you are not reading, you are just saying it. That you are becoming familiar with scriptures. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Yes. Then we have
Hallelujah. Okay, so don't get familiar with scriptures. Don't. Do you understand? Whenever you see that you are getting familiar with scriptures like that, start,
just know that you need to pray more.
I hear you. To the point that if I'm to see, I still see open John 3:16. And I read it. The directed John 3:16, the first scripture I knew. First scripture. John 1:1, I still open it. I'm not joking though. I'm writing. If I'm writing my notes, I don't just write it. I open it. So don't get familiar with scriptures. Are you hearing me? Okay, let's go ahead. Where were we? How did I get to scriptures now? Okay, John 15, right? Verse 10, right? Okay, so if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. So we say that commandment is what? Faith in God, right? Hallelujah. Is that faith in God? Okay, hallelujah. So can we now say, look at what we are just explaining Matthew 28. We are just taking it further from where we stopped. Hope we can see that. We're taking it further from where we stopped yesterday to today. So let's go one step further. So we can say that heaven and earth implies those who abide in God's love. We've just seen it, right? God's love is what? Faith in God, right? That God's love in that meaning the God's love we're talking about to abide in God's love is faith in God, right? Was that what we've seen? Okay, so we can put it as this. The authority of Christ is in those who abide in his love, right? Right? Which is faith in God, those who believe. Make you know. So now we all know. So the authority of God is in the believer. He's in the man who has faith in God, right? He's the man who abides in God's love. He's all, we are all saying the same thing. You understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, right? Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So what your disciples will be taught will be the reality of what Jesus has taught. Right? Right? What has Jesus taught them? We said that last week. Want to give us, want to tell us this. The reality of what Jesus has taught will be what? The reality of faith in God, and that will lead to love for all men. That is deuteros. That which proceeds from the fruitos. Do you understand? Meaning the love for all men will proceed from the what? Faith in God. Did you get that? The love for all men will proceed from faith in God. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So, what has Jesus taught them? We'll get to see that this week? Okay, we'll get to see that next week. That the reality of what Jesus actually taught is, I'm not using the word reality like that. What Jesus actually taught is actually the reality of faith in God and love for all men. That's what Jesus taught. And we'll see it. In fact, if you listen to the message, the vine and the branch, we said Jesus actually spoke about two commandments, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Which is what? Faith in God and love for all men. But I want to tell you that they are not two commandments, it's just one.
Yes.
Faith in God. Do you know? Are you following me? So what you call love for all men is the result of what? Faith in God. Are you following me? Or this is not put it as the result. This is what will happen. Or this is what I should walk in because of what? The first. That is why Jesus said the second, the doutros, is like unto the first. Do you understand? So when he said it's like unto the first, it means the doutros proceeds from the first. So to have the second without the first is to have charity organization. We'll get there. So do NGO. To wear clothes and go to that and do save our soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's continue.
Yes, yeah, nana.
Hallelujah. So, the reality of faith in God will lead to love for all men. Was that what we said just now? So, this will be the teaching of the apostles in the book of Acts into the epistles. Yes, it will be the teaching of the apostles in the book of Acts into the epistles. We are laying foundation, so don't worry, we'll look at everything together. That's a foundation we are just starting. Hallelujah. You find in the book of in the teachings of the apostles, right? From the book of Acts into the epistles. They will teach the reality of, now remember, take note of this. Now remember, faith in God, right? Faith in God means what? No, faith in God means to believe, right? Faith in God brings to pass the new birth, right? Right? Now, because the epistles are not written to unbelievers, most of the epistles are not written to unbelievers. In fact, we all know that, right? Right? I didn't say all, I said most of. Now, most of the epistles, most of Paul's writings were not written to unbelievers. In fact, all of Paul's writings. Right? Now, let me just leave it the way it is. Most of the epistles were not written to unbelievers. Now you find out that those epistles written to believers, you find that now because the believers are those who, or the believers is what? Heaven and earth, right? The reality of heaven and earth, right? So you will not find them, you will not find the writers of the epistles write and say to believers, have faith in God. You will not find that because the people they are writing to have faith already in God. So what you will find is the reality of that faith in God. That's what you find them right. You find the epistles, you find the apostles right about that reality, which is identification. So do you understand? So in the epistles, when I get to the epistles, I will see my identification in Christ. Like what we saw yesterday, we saw the explanation, right? Or you find that what has happened to us in the new birth, we have been led from the flesh to the spirit. Did you get that? So that's what you find. You will not find words telling you believe God, or not believe God, have faith in God. You will not find that in the epistles written to believers, because the people are writing to are already sanctified, they're already born again. Did you get that? But rather, what you will find there by this, that reality. You will find that reality being written of, then you will now find them right about what? Your walk in love. Are you following that? You will find it in the epistles. In the prayer of Paul, you will find the same thing. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Prayer of Paul for believers. Towards believers. Do you understand? You find the same thing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. So the apostles will write the reality of the new birth, identification and love for men. And remember, the love for all men will be the doutros. Don't forget that. The love for all men will be the doutros that will flow from the proton, the protos, faith in God. Do you understand me? That means that our Christian faith, you need to get this. Hallelujah. Our Christian faith is mirrored in our conduct. Our Christian faith
is mirrored in our conduct,
is mirrored in our relationships.
That's what I have here.
It's mirrored in our relationships.
I'm trying not to use the word relationship. For some reason, it's just not so good. Hallelujah. But what I began to learn today, those who know this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So
the Christian faith will be mirrored in our what?
Conduct. Conduct amongst what? Men. Did you get that?
So meaning our Christian faith will live out our Christian faith.
Are you following me? In fact, there's something.
In fact, if you look at those who minister the gospel in the Old Testament,
those who minister the gospel in the Old Testament,
you discover that what they ministered, they lived it.
Do you understand? What they ministered, they lived it.
It was evident in their work. Though
they will not write about their own flaws, because they will have flaws. That's why they are human. Do you understand? They will have flaws. Those flaws is to make you know that they are not the Messiah. Do you understand me? But they will have their flaws. But you discover that what they spoke about, they lived it out. Do you understand?
Are you hearing me?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
Hallelujah.
So you find them living that. It's just like
I'm saying it now.
It's just like
there was a time a brother. A brother was trying to justify his reason for going out with an unbeliever. It's very senseless. He told me,
didn't God ask Uzziah to marry a harlot? That's that. You know, it's just very funny.
He didn't like what I said to him.
This was way back 2016. This 2020, right? Okay, that's way back 2016.
Isn't that what I said to him?
At all, he didn't like it. That's how God's that. We have to look at scriptures together.
Hallelujah. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers and things like that.
But his man was that Uzziah. But you know, Uzziah is a two boss. You understand? Why did God ask Uzziah to marry? Or why did Uzziah marry a harlot? Because Uzziah's life was an example, or was a shadow of the fact that God is going to dwell with sinners. Because Uzziah preached. Do you understand me? Uzziah preached it. Do you understand me? It was Uzziah's message, so Uzziah lived out the message. Do you understand me? It was his message. So, it's part of what I'll discuss on one of our ministers' forum this week. The message you preach, you live out that message as a minister. Do you understand? You live out what you preach.
Hallelujah.
Did you get me? Not like going to marry a harlot. No. That was just like an example that was given. It's just like Jeremiah trying to tell them the fact that they have gone into other gods, that they are now worshipping other gods, and they are now messing themselves up with other gods. Now, because he was right to them that they have become adulterous. Adulterous not in the sense that they were sleeping with each other. Adulterous in the sense that they have gone out to other gods and were worshipping Baal. What is Jeremiah do? Jeremiah went to the what we will call naturally today the market square or a village square. Now he sat there and carried the feces of
a beast, which is a beast, is not the beast you have in Nigerian home movie. The beast would be an animal. That's like he carried the feces of the beast and was eating it. And when they saw it, they were like, "What thing? What are you doing?" And he said, "The same way you have defied yourself." Do you understand me?
Yes.
Did you get that? Hallelujah. So that act, that singular act of Jeremiah does not mean you will now go and be carrying feces of animals. No. Those things, if you do that, you are not different from the hardened man. Do you understand me? So what he did was to show them their act. What they are doing is wrong. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, let's proceed. So our Christian faith is mirrored in our conduct. That is all what I've been trying to say. Hallelujah. So what we believed, we live it. Do you understand? We live out our belief. That's what we say. We live out our belief. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is seen in our relationship amongst men. These are faith, our faith in Christ is seen in our relationship among men. How we talk to men, how we relate with men, how we speak to them. Are you hearing me? What we even say, our mood, our countenance. That is that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's see Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. Let's look at Paul. Ephesians 2. Verses 8. Ephesians 2:8. He said, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Hallelujah. He said, "By faith you've been saved." Hallelujah. I mean, by grace you have been saved, sorry. Through faith, it is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. That word gift is the word charis. 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 It implies what is freely given. What is freely given. What is freely given. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, telling us that salvation is free gift. Everything done for salvation, everything done in salvation is done by God and freely given. Everything done in salvation, everything done to make salvation possible was done by God and freely given. All a man needs to do is to believe in all he has done. Hallelujah. So for salvation, man's effort is not needed. Just man's belief that is needed. Yes, and for salvation, man's effort is not needed. Abraham shows us that. Genesis 22. It says, Jehovah will provide the lamb. Jehovah Jireh. It's not Jehovah will provide money. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will provide the lamb. Jehovah will provide the lamb. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it says Jehovah Jireh, meaning in salvation, God provides the lamb. God provides the lamb for the offering. Who is the lamb? John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Who? Jesus is the Lamb of God. For causing Christ, he said causing, he is our Passover. That's what I mean. Christ, who is our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He is the Passover. What happened to the Passover? The Passover is key. Right? When we discuss communion table, right? The Passover is key. So he is the Passover. The Passover is not bread and tasty time. The Passover is not wine and and bread. No, the Passover is key. And the Passover points to who? Christ. Are you following me? Are you following me? Say, Christ is our Passover. So, God provides the lamb. God provides himself. Do you understand me? So, are you following me? God provides the lamb. God provides himself as the lamb. Right? Jehovah provides. Jehovah Jireh means God will provide himself as the lamb. That's what Abraham said. God will provide himself as the lamb. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. In Hebrews 2 verse 11, he says, he who sanctifies, and they who have been sanctified, all of them one. He said, for this cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now he said, he who sanctifies, meaning he's the one who sanctifies. Did you see that? So, what am I telling you? In the walk of salvation, man did nothing. Man did nothing. Man did nothing. So your effort is not required for salvation. Salvation is free. Are you hearing me? All a man needs is to believe. In salvation, you don't walk. In salvation, God offers. In fact, God is the offering, right? I mean, he provides the offering, right? He is the offering, and he is the offerer of the offering. Do you get that? Are you following me? God provides the offering, he is the offering, and he is the offerer of the offering. Where did he offer the offering? In our hearts. Did you get that? Did you get that? Hallelujah. As the word, as the Holy Ghost. Are you following this? So what is my own responsibility? It's just to believe. Just to believe. Do you get that? I just believe. I just believe God. And I'm saved. I just believe God and I'm translated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that Ephesians 2:9. It says, look at this, is very important. It says, it's a free gift. But I said, not of works. Meaning, my effort is not needed. Just get that. Least anyone should boast. Meaning, it's not of anybody's work, not of effort. No effort for a man. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should do what? Walk in them. Take note of this. He says, listen, salvation, he said, we are his workmanship. Meaning, salvation makes us his workmanship. Hallelujah. He then said, created unto good works, meaning there are works in salvation. Are you following me? There are works in salvation that we should do what? Walk in them. Are you hearing that? Let me take that again. For salvation to be possible, man's effort is not needed. Right? Right? God is both the one who provides the offering, the offerer. Right? Right? And it's done in the heart of man. Right? But this salvation, but in this salvation that we've received, there is a walk that we should walk in. You understand me? There is a walk that we should walk in. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this? So there's a walk in salvation. And that is the believer's walk. There's a walk in salvation. Are you hearing me? There's a walk in salvation. Salvation creates for us a walk. Salvation creates for us a walk. The second is like unto the first. Did you remember that?
Yes.
The second is like unto the first. Or the second is like the first. That is, the second proceeds from the first. Right? The second comes from the first. What is the first? Salvation. The second comes from the first. Where is the second? Walk in them. Do you understand me? We should walk in them. Our walk, our conduct amongst ourselves. Are you hearing me? Our conduct, our walk amongst ourselves. Glory to God. This implies that to do the second without the first is futile. You cannot just start walking and say, I love you.
you know, you start to now want to care for people, want to do this. You end up as a, just as, it's not counted. Number one, it's not counted. Number two, you're just an NGO. You're not even between you and an NGO. You know an NGO? Today we are visiting the modelers, you know. To buy clothes, to buy shoes, to buy, so thank you, we love you. But if there's no Christ in it, that's an you're just an NGO. Just a charity organization. Hallelujah. Because it is not counted. It's not counted, it's not seen, it's not known. But the second must flow from the first. The second, I walk amongst men. Are there people who are kind and good and they're not born again? Yes. But their goodness and their kindness is not counted, it's not seen. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Yeah. I don't, do you understand me? Yeah. They can be good, but yet the Bible still says they are children of the devil. Don't you? Are they children of God? No. So we are not children of God, who are they? Sons of darkness. Hallelujah. So you say, sir, where is the kingdom of darkness? Just that man that does not believe the kingdom of darkness. You don't need to look for it. You don't need to off light. It's darkness. I just say you. You don't need to off light to look for the kingdom of darkness. Just turn to the man who is without Christ. That is the kingdom of darkness. Don't you know? You are the kingdom of God. You are. I am me. The kingdom of God is in man. The kingdom of darkness is in men too. That's why Jesus will look at them and say, you are the sons of your father, the devil. Say, his deeds you accomplish. Are you hearing me? Ah. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. He said, no, sir, but sir. You know, there was a sister one time that was trying to convince me why she should date an unbeliever. Let me not call religion. Why you should date a Muslim? Was giving me exegesis. I said, who is your pastor? I won't call anyone the pastor. Who is your pastor? Hey, is this what you are now learning? I'm careful not to call the location so that nobody will get what I said. Is this what you are now learning? Discover that she is not coming for me. Now giving me exegesis. But I saw the brother. Brother from Nigeria. Okay. You know how I could identify? I saw that. Sis, what is happening now? What is happening? What is this? And all around, I'm seeing love. What I do is the best. And now, what is happening here? Is this your friend's? I don't know. Sister, how far? What is happening here? You're not giving me exegesis. But now, explain it to me. How did Jesus die for the whole world? Listen, say how Jesus died for the whole world. And this was not the person that Jesus died for. Be careful when you begin to take the knowledge of God the other way. Say, no, did Jesus die for this one? Say, why are we discriminating? You see, when you allow your emotions form your revelation, you are in trouble. If your emotion dictates for you how you study your scriptures, you are in trouble. You are in for doom. Yes, now. Because you will not be looking out for scriptures to back up your evil desires. Do you understand? Glory to God. Glory to God. I mean, somebody that said, do you know that my profession is in the scriptures? God chose this profession for me. You know, some people can be that. He said, you know, God showed me from the scriptures that this profession, accounting, you know, we'll give account on that last day. Can you see how senseless you can allow your emotions to take? You know, because you are. You see, there's one thing that you must understand. We don't live by emotions. If you make decisions as a believer out of emotions, you are in serious trouble. I am.
We don't marry out of emotions. We don't. We don't fall in love out of emotion. We don't fall out of love out of emotion. We don't walk out of emotion. Are you hearing me? He said, follow. You know, if a pastor tells a brethren now, today, not here, maybe another place, now, say, follow your heart. The first thing that comes to the sister's mind is follow your emotions. But the pastor will mean by follow your heart is follow the spirit. But what comes to a sister's mind first is, why am I doing sisters today? I don't know. Maybe because I'm close to sisters today. What comes to that is follow your emotion. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Whenever I see that, I have goosebumps. That goosebumps kill you there. Hallelujah. You're like my dream man. But you know, Salvador. Oh, just stop that. Hallelujah. We don't walk by our emotions. Are you hearing me? You're not giving me examples of how, why. He said, you know this. He gave me a lot of things. So he said, you know. In fact, he now drew my attention to Cornelius. Cornelius is not a good man. Did the Bible write about Cornelius? You see how people can be blocked. You see, there is normal daftness. There is spiritual daftness. Sorry for that. But you know, people can be that daft. And I now started explaining. I explained till I said one. I made the sister not talk to me for a long time. Just now. I said one. And I just said, see, let me tell you something. You don't need to look for Satan anyway. You are dying and eating the Satan. He said, can't God use me as a vessel to win this soul? I said, for how long have you been going out? Listen, say we're going out for like 3 months or thereabout. I said, for that 3 months, why haven't you led him to Christ? There is a process. Your salvation was a process, I mean. No, your being born again was a process. It took you 1 year to be born again. Or you just said the reason I believe. Sir, you know, it's not everybody knows that we're the same. That is mere. Can you not see that your emotion is already becoming your judgment? Not so amongst believers. Don't allow that to happen. Just the way you begin to back up your emotion with scriptures that are not praying, you're not studying. Are you hearing me? In fact, when I get emotionally attached to somebody so well, you know what I do? I stay with that person for a long time. You know, it's a virtue. It's something that I do till tomorrow. Sometimes I have to block you on social media. Block you where? Are you following me? Because at that point where you are emotionally attached, you can make the greatest mistake of all time. Are you hearing me? How did I start talking about relationships? Is this a relationship seminar? Man of God, how far? This year now. What are you thinking? Huh? What are you doing when I say this thing?
I
am not saying you hear my this year. Can you ask me why I have to quickly ask? What? Like, you don't miss this year for something else. Do you know what I mean by this year?
I know. Yes.
We are communicated. Every other person you forget. Hallelujah. If you don't do anything, you see, if you take any other thing, you are walking in the flesh. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you don't need to look for Satan anywhere. The kingdom of darkness is that man you spoke to, and he did not accept because he is the kingdom of darkness. But most times, you know, we live in a country or we live in a world where we try to be sentimental and try to, but see, truth be told, if you have to tell us what is your personality, this man is in Christ, this man is in darkness, take it or leave it, that is the person's true state.
Genocide.
That does not mean you're not going to see a book and say, hey, you.
I didn't say anything, though.
Glory to God. You understand? But you just know. Hallelujah. So the second would flow from the first. The second will be found in the first. Hallelujah. Will flow from the first. So now that I look at, let me now gauge something, or let's look at something now. Let me see how many people follow me. Luke 24, 25 to 27, 44 to 45. I want to ask how many people have been following me now. He says, all fools come back to believe all the prophets have spoken. The author of the Christ who suffered this thing and then met to is Luke 24, 25. All fools love not to believe in all the prophets that have spoken, all not the Christ who has entered into his glory. Say, beginning as Moses and all the prophets, he has spoken unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Verse 44. He said, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things will be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, right? In the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, that concerning me, what is it about? Will that concerning me be, listen, will that concerning me be faith in God and love to all men? Remember we said, on this hangs the law and the prophets. Meaning, all they spoke about is what? Christ and what? And the work in Christ. Right? What, can we have it like that? Christ and work in Christ. Right? Now, can we now say all the prophets, now when Jesus now said concerning me, remember, I started explaining something like this during our GPLR, if you remember. When I said, concerning me, we also include other subtopics. That Christ is the major topic in the subtopics. Did you remember that? And I said, do you have other subtopics in the main topic, which is that prayer, fasting, and all those things, right?
Yes.
Now, can we now say that concerning me will now be Christ and the work in Christ?
Yes.
Right? Hallelujah. Meaning the prophet will also speak, they'll speak concerning Christ and speak of our walk in what?
In
Christ. And that's what we're going to find out. These are the investigations we're going to look at. We're going to look at it from Genesis down to Revelation. Hallelujah. Our walk as believers. Our walk. What to walk in. What we should not walk in. What must we not be found doing as believers? Hallelujah. 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 So we'll be looking at it all through what we must be found doing, what we should be doing, and what we must not be found doing in the course of the next 4 to 5 weeks. Hallelujah. And we'll spend quality time looking at it from the scriptures. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Have you learned something today?
Yes, sir.
Talk to someone and explain what you've learned to me.